About 60% of DC residents rent their homes. Before the pandemic, tenants who weren't satisfied with the rental conditions would sometimes withhold payments in hopes that their landlords would address these issues. But since March, tenant organizers have seen a growing number of tenants not only choosing to strike, but taking their concerns to the streets in open protest. WAMU's Gabe Bullard and Hannah Schuster have more on this rise in tenant activism.
About 20 tenants of the Woodner, one of D.C.'s largest apartment buildings, unfurled a giant banner on a recent afternoon that read, "Cancel rent," and marched to the building manager's house. The D.C. Tenants Union estimates up to 150 or so of the Woodner's roughly 2,000 tenants are withholding rent. Some lost their jobs in the pandemic and can't pay. Others, like Sonia Connolly, are withholding rent out of solidarity and to push for improvements to the building.
There's mold in my apartment, and they tried to paint over it, and the paint buckled after 1 week.
All of them, though, want rent to be forgiven until after the pandemic ends. The next day, tenants of the Tivoli Gardens building marched to their landlord's home in Georgetown to protest.
These two aren't isolated incidents, and they aren't a result of the pandemic alone. Interest in tenant activism was growing before. About half of renters in the area are cost-burdened, meaning they pay a third or more of their income in rent. Racial disparities in housing are also stark. Black and Latino renters are far more likely to be cost-burdened than white renters.
Against this backdrop, the Tenants Union, the organization Stomp Out Slumlords, and others have formed to demand protections for tenants. But since the pandemic, they've been striking more than ever.
Usually you would see like maybe one or two rent strikes happen like a year. Right now, I would say there's maybe around 14 rent strikes that just started just this year.
Citlali Velasquez is a tenant organizer with the Latino Economic Development Center. She's working on organizing another rent strike in a building in Mount Pleasant. She's seen a lot of enthusiasm around this activism lately and a lot of support in the community.
The strikes we're seeing now are different than the ones from before. In traditional rent strikes, residents usually can pay, and they set aside their money to pay back if needed. But that's not possible for many tenants now. More than 10% of D.C. renters are behind on payments, according to an analysis of census data from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Here's Velasquez again.
When you do have the money to withhold, you know, you have nothing to lose. You can't really risk eviction. Worst case scenario, you have to pay everything back. But now I think the real question is, well, you can't pay rent anyway, and so we might as well try to pressure the landlord and organize.
And right now, with local and federal eviction bans, tenants can't be kicked out for non-payment. The cancel rent movement has caused alarm for some landlords who say they're also worried about mortgage payments supporting their employees and their own families. But as it becomes clear the pandemic isn't going away just yet, tenants have continued to escalate their tactics. Striking tenants in Alexandria visited lawmakers' homes. A group in Chilham, Maryland, risked arrest to block an illegal eviction.
These are people's homes at stake. And during the pandemic, homes are the places where we're told to stay to avoid catching the coronavirus. They're classrooms for remote schools. They're offices if you can work from home.
And there's a connection with other protests happening across the country. While not every rent strike is related to anti-racism, there are some similarities. Michael Cohen is a research associate with the Urban Institute. He says many issues with housing now go back decades.
I think it's all rooted in policy decisions in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that were deeply racist in their origin.
And the anti-racist protests now give urgency and energy to striking tenants.
Some of the tactics that you see folks using within the Black Lives Matter movement, within the push to become the police, I think you see folks in other realms sort of learning and adapting those tactics.
This connection between tenant activism and civil rights extends back to the district's first documented rent strike in 1964.
A building on Girard Street in Columbia Heights was infested with rats. Plaster was crumbling from the walls, and the front yard was covered in trash. So one woman started to withhold her rent, and the landlord got a court order to evict her. That's when her son sought help from the Nonviolent Action Group at Howard University, a group of students organizing for civil rights.
They were very supportive of this rent strike. In fact, one day when the marshals came to evict the tenant and her family, they went and blockaded. I mean, they were very active in terms of supporting that rent strike.
That's Amanda Huron, a professor at the University of the District of Columbia who studies affordable housing and organizes with the Tenants Union.
The students also convinced the 8 other families in the building to withhold their rent. Those families ultimately lost their case and were evicted, but tenant organizing continued to flourish in D.C. over the next decade. Later, a group of tenants went on strike and eventually won a major legal victory.
An appeals court found that in a residential lease, landlords have a requirement to keep the place safe and livable.
And before that opinion was issued in 1970, that wasn't the law. And so that essentially, in some ways, legalizes the rent strike as a tactic. It's saying, look, if the place isn't up to snuff, then you don't have to pay rent.
Rent strikes since have largely taken aim at bad conditions. But the pandemic has refocused strikes around one major demand. Cancel rent.
No job, no rent! No,
it seemed like a bold, unlikely suggestion when it first started to appear on banners in the spring, and widespread rent forgiveness does not have significant support among lawmakers.
But there is growing alarm that the country could be headed for an unprecedented wave of evictions once local and federal moratoria expire. And just like the idea of defunding the police has begun to be discussed in more and more places, so has the idea of canceling rent, even among landlords to a degree.
We're looking for things like increase in rental assistance. We're looking for mortgage relief.
Randy Marshall is Vice President of Government Affairs for the Apartment and Office Building Association of Metropolitan Washington. She says rather than expect tenants to pay or leave, they're looking to the federal government for relief.
I think a lot of our members would care less about who actually is getting the funds in the first place. I think they want to make sure that their mortgages are paid and that they don't have to furlough or lay off of any of their employees.
Whether a building has no tenants or no paying tenants, the result is the same. There is no money to keep buildings from falling apart further or going into foreclosure and ending up in the hands of big holding companies.
For tenants, their health and safety are on the line. But in a larger sense, so is the future of the city's housing stock. For WAMU, I'm Gabe Bullard.
And I'm Hannah Schuster.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. And you can support the regional coverage that matters to this community by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thank you.